A part of the Dublin Port Tunnel was blocked last night by protesters objecting to asylum seekers being housed in a disused ESB building in Dublin's East Wall area. It follows two nights of protests last week, and further demonstrations are planned for this week. There are, it seems, mixed motives behind the demonstrations. Some residents resent the lack of consultation. Others are concerned about the impact of resources in the area. Others advance right-wing conspiracy theories about the issue of immigration and international protection in general. Well, Lucky Cambule is the coordinator of the movement of asylum seekers in Ireland. He's been talking to people in the East Wall area and he joins us now on the line. Lucky, thanks for joining us this evening.
Good evening, Colin.
Well, what have you been hearing from talking to people in the East Wall area?
Oh, gosh. It's all about fear, being frightened, scared to call out because of the fact that people seem not to be accepting them coming in the country.
This is the people within the disused ESB building you've been speaking to.
Yes, I've been speaking with the guys there who are there. They are afraid to even talk. We had a meeting just now. They are afraid to talk publicly in the meeting, in our Zoom meeting. I speak with them privately because it's just taking that human kind of freedom that people would expect to have here. And it's terrifying them. Believe me, it's terrifying them what is being done there.
And what countries are people coming from, Lucky, that you met at the meeting today?
It's various countries, Algeria, Central Africa, Southern Africa, from the Asian countries as well. It's just a mix of people.
And do you think, as well as the fear, that they've been taken aback, that they've been shocked by some of the reaction of the demonstrations outside the ESB building?
They have been shocked. They have been shocked. One was even saying that he is coming from a place of fear, wherever that they come from. And when they see this non-kind of acceptance that is demonstrated towards them, because it to them, they feel that it's directed towards them, and hence the fear gets to them. They feel, even when they walk in the streets, like somebody's watching them as they walk on the streets, whether they are in twos or threes. So every time a person is looking over his shoulders to see is there anyone that can attack them. Fortunately, there isn't anyone that has been attacked, but they have that fear because this is continuing now. This is the second week this is happening, and they don't know what's going to happen to them.
And have you had a chance to talk to people outside the local residents in the East Wall area?
Yes. We have been approached by people via phone or emails to offer their support to us, to the people that are coming there. I've referred some. I'm not going to mention the name, but the lady connected with the guys there brought some clothes to them to just make sure that they people understand that it's not everybody that has got the same sentiments as the other group, and which is much really really welcome. We know that there are people that are supportive of international protection applicants, refugees, and migrants in this country, and we thank those people to give that assurance to the newcomers here, to know that it's not everybody that is not welcoming. There are people that care. There are people that are living in that area. People are saying, I live here. I don't support these kind of protests. And they come out to us. They don't want to be seen to be doing it publicly, but they do. They are people that are doing a great job there to at least ease the nerves of the people.
And finally, Lucky, what would you like to see at national level in order to reassure people who are in a situation like this that they will be protected?
I would say nationally, the government need to be seen to be protecting the people that are vulnerable who come in this country. At the moment, people don't feel that, and the government should be able to address this by engaging all groups, all locals, councillors, TDs, needs to come on board and say, how are we going to be able to solve these problems that are facing the government, are facing everybody? Consultations need to happen so that people are not shocked when these things happen. And because wrong groups get involved in terms of this, and it's going to escalate if it's not dealt with. So nationally, something must be done in terms of a proper consultation with the government.
Okay. Lucky Kambule, who's the coordinator for the Movement of Asylum Seekers in Ireland. Thanks very much for joining us. Well, a broader issue came up in the Dáil today in an exchange between Roderick O'Gorman, the Minister with Responsibility for Integration, and Tipperary Independent TD, Matty McGrath.
Now, the Irish people, as you know, are the Cade Mina Falters and a thousand welcomes and very welcoming people. But when you see busloads of young men arriving in an area in the dead of night and being put into industrial buildings, and we see it happening in different parts of the country, we need a proper debate here and a proper understanding and listen to communities and not have the head of an NGO lecturing the community as to what they should do and how they should behave.
We're providing accommodation to 64,000 people right now, many of whom are from Ukraine, men, women and children fleeing the war there, but over 17,000 of which are men, women and children fleeing wars elsewhere, because Ukraine is not the only war on our planet right now. There are wars in Syria, wars in Afghanistan, wars in Ethiopia and Eritrea. And just as much as Ireland offers protection to women and children, we also offer protection to men, because men are victims of torture, men are victims of persecution as well.
Christina Finn, around Leinster House, this issue is obviously a live issue around the country and a talking point as well. But within Leinster House, amongst political representatives, what are you hearing on this particular issue? Are people all of a mind on it, or are people growing uncomfortable because of the mix of reactions in some communities?
I definitely think over the last number of weeks, even before, I think the protests, that there is a real sense, particularly among senior members in government, that immigration could be the next real battleground, I think, for the government, in terms of something that we've never had or really had to grapple with in terms of other European countries around. You know, other countries around the world have had to deal with this for years, but Ireland never really fell into that narrative. We always seem to be quite a welcoming country, and there definitely does seem to be a real concern that this could ratchet up over the next coming weeks. And I do feel there is a sense perhaps that as much as planning as they tried to do in terms of dealing with the Ukrainian refugee crisis, that enough perhaps was not done to lay the groundwork in terms of bringing people with them. And I think we have seen that play out, I think, with the East Wall. We had the caller there saying consultation would have been needed. And I think there was always sort of a fear factor about perhaps highlighting different areas where people were going into. And yes, that would have brought protests. There's no doubt about it. If you're highlighting to community that a group of people are going to come in, there will be a certain amount of people that will take issue with that. But there should have been, I think, a concerted effort within government, such as what we've seen sort of, as I was saying, with like the COVID effort, volunteers, bringing communities with you, you know, asking for help. Do people have things they can, time, effort,
sure,
clothes and all the rest? And I think that would have, I think, bolstered the effort and perhaps counteracted this a bit better.
Okay, Christopher O'Sullivan, your colleague Cathal Crowe today called for a cap on the amount of Ukrainian refugees coming in, not only to his own county, County Clare, but the country as a whole, saying, look, we've done our best, we've done enough. How does that sit with you? How did that go down in the wider party when he said that on local radio?
I don't agree with the idea of capping the amount of Ukrainians or people seeking international protection, but look, I think we have to very much distance what Cathal is saying compared to what the scenes that we're seeing in Eastwall. In Eastwall, you're seeing scenes of xenophobia. And by the way, this isn't generally the community in Eastwall. This is people who have seized an opportunity to demonstrate their racist tendencies, and that sort of, some that, and you know, to protest at somebody who's seeking international protection just as they get off the bus. As Lucky said there, you know, I can't imagine the fear and the how alarming that must be as they get off the bus and they're seeking international protection. Kyle's comments, listen, I think he said since then that his comments were misrepresented. He lives in a community where he has said that some of the Ukrainian refugees who are seeking accommodation, they're staying in tents, and that's not good enough. Clearly, there's an infrastructure deficit.
So what do you detect? Is his concern for the people themselves because they have to live in tents, or is he relaying concerns that are being relayed to him for the community about resource pressures?
Having heard him clarify his comments, his main concerns are the people who aren't in proper, they don't have a proper roof over their head, they're staying in tents. I think that's his main concern. I mean, Cahill has been very forceful in standing with Ukraine and his support of Ukraine. So I think it's been taken out of context, but I wouldn't have used the word cap or putting limits, because we're not full. You know, that's that hashtag Ireland is full is something I don't agree with.
Right.
He didn't use that, by the way.
Well, you know, I have to say that anybody that says anything, whether it's misconstrued or not, is being accused of dog whistling. And I think there is a cap, but we're nowhere near it. It's 1.6% of the population that moves from Ukraine because of war. We're nowhere near that. That's upwards of 200,000 people, which was what we were told we were going to be seeing here in the early stages of the war. We have 64,000 people. We just don't have the accommodation. They're in appalling conditions. We heard Catherine Day say today that it's now unrealistic to end direct provision, which was appalling in the first place. And it was unrealistic when she completed that report, and we're 2.5 years further on. I think the reality is we're offering safety and shelter. In my county, in Wexford, we're doing a fantastic job. We have fantastic volunteer groups, but who are now themselves coming under pressure. Supports are not there like they were. The money isn't there like they were. You know, there's an English language difficulty that they're not being supported with. And this is part of the communication issue.
Right. So you think it's time to address those supports?
I think it's time that government started to take notice that their volunteers, whom they don't seem to have any idea of how many there are. And I'm telling you, they're vast Wexford.
What do you think consultation looks like? Because this word is coming up a lot. Lucky Kambule was talking about consultation. The community is talking about it. What does it mean?
Ukrainians are arriving in parts of Wexford tomorrow. Can they speak English? Do we need an English language or a Ukrainian interpreter? All of those things. It's very difficult for parents with maybe a sick child, for somebody to be there to tell them how to get to the doctor, where the doctor is.
I just want to come back. Christopher, so you were saying Colin Crowe said he thought his comments were misconstrued. He was asked if he was backing a cap on arrivals. He said, yeah, I would think so. I've said this to colleagues in government as well. And then he said, there is no shame whatsoever in us as a country and us as a county and us as a country in saying, we've done everything we can, we want to do more, but right now capacity in terms of healthcare, transport and accommodation has not just been reached, but exceeded. I mean,
who could disagree with that?
Is he talking about the County of Clare there, or is he talking
about Ireland? He's talking both. I mean, he says about the county and the country.
I understand that Clare has taken a large volume of Ukrainian refugees. But, you know, I think, again, if you have to look into his comments in context. And look, I'm sure he can well defend himself. His main concern was the welfare of Ukrainian refugees who were staying in tents. But just from my own position, you know, I agree with Verona. We're nowhere near full as a country. And as well, just in terms of Matty's comments at the start, I don't know why he brought young men into the question or into the situation. I mean, I thought the minister's response was quite impressive there.
Okay.
There are young men fleeing war and torture as well, and we have to look after them as well.
Well, with the exception of Ukraine, where men were kept in the country and women and children were allowed to leave, it's very few conflicts result in mostly women and children leaving. It's men have the wherewithal to cover long distances in safety to get to a new place. Isn't that the case, Eoin Ó Briain?
Yeah, and look, I mean, we're in an emergency situation. We're in a situation like we've never been before, and we all have to understand.
And what are you hearing in your constituency, Fro? When people come into your clinic, do they have these fears about resources, about pressures?
I represent a constituency in Dublin which probably has the largest number of people seeking international protection, asylum between Ukrainians and people seeking asylum between Red Cow, City West, the Ibis Hotel, Dulcon House, which is a very similar facility to East Wall, as well as Direct Provision Centre. I'd say two things. There are two mistakes I think the government is making, which has the potential to feed into exactly what Christine is saying. The first is, while everybody accepts that this is going to be difficult, everybody accepts that this isn't an ordinary state of affairs and it's going to put huge strains, the first thing government isn't doing, they're not even communicating with people. And I don't even mean consultation. I mean, for example, when up to 250 people were being moved into a temporary commercial facility in Clondalkin Village, where I live. There was no communication strategy from the minister or for government to ensure that local people just had basic information, really, really basic information, in parallel to both single people and families with kids being moved into the facility. The second thing is again, we're not expecting a very, very high level of supports either for those men, women and children seeking protection or the wider community, but there has to be a coordinated package. And the two things I've noticed is, one, no communication plan at all. What does that do? That creates a vacuum. But let me make the point. If there is no communication strategy at all, that means a very, very small minority of people who have very, very malign intentions can get an awful lot of traction very quickly. Likewise, there is no coordination on the ground. So Roderick O'Gorman's department are on their own and they're not getting adequate supports from the Departments of Health, the Departments of Housing and the Departments of Education. And I'm seeing that everywhere. So what do we need?
Okay, well,
we need a communications plan, centrally and locally. And we need
proper coordination as well.
Between all government departments, nationally and locally.
We have quite a large number of Ukrainian migrants. That town has no family resource centre. It has an intro office that doesn't open. And we don't have a local link between Enniscorthy and Wexford where they have to go. But it's all left to volunteers who are not a recognised charity. Therefore, they qualify for supports.
I think there's general agreement
it's serious.
But Verona's point is really important, which is if the government doesn't get this right, if they don't put in place proper planning, proper communication,
and support,
the potential for things going wrong is very, very significant. East Wall shows that. And I have to say, I'm in most of the constituencies.
Just talking about communication, because there's been a lot of points brought up there about lack of communication. I know that Minister O'Gorman and Pascal Donoghue have met the community there. I know that Senator Mary Fitzgerald is on the ground there to speak into the community regularly. And as well, in terms of supports, local authorities are now involved in those vacant housing pledges for Ukrainians as well. So
all they're doing is identifying
adapting.
Buildings. They're not involved.
The one where I would agree with you, it is probably the biggest humanitarian crisis that we as a nation have.
There does seem to be
openness as well, that our acknowledgement that Roderick O'Gorman, I think from all sides, have
said
that
he's in a pretty invidious position.
Under that might well change.
He's not getting the support he should be getting from other government departments, nor our asylum applicants,
One more topic before we go.
Or communities.
Because